The scripture passage I want to go with is Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 38. And I'll be reading from the NIV here. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl's not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread throughout the region. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over the region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." It's the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Lord God, I give you thanks for your word and your stories. I thank you, Lord, for us being able to gather here today and worship you. And Lord, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart draw us closer to you. Help me, Lord, to say what you want me to say, and help us, Lord, to hear what you want us to hear. And Lord, help us not just to be hearers of the word, to be doers of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is the second Sunday in January. How many of us made New Year's resolutions? Did you make New Year's resolutions? Wow. Well, this kind of negates my next question. How many of us are still keeping them? Well, it's a good thing that I did. I didn't necessarily make it a New Year's resolution, but I started reading a devotional thing January 1st, and I have kept up with it, and thank God I have, because one of the passages this week was this passage there, and it's been working on me, and so I was able to come up with a message today. And like Aaron said before, sometimes when you're given a message, this is a message to me as much as it is to you, but I wanted to share it with you today because this is to me. Reports show that 23% of adults quit their New Year's goals by the end of the first week of January. I guess you don't have to worry about that if you didn't start. Friday seems to be a popular day for goal setters to drop a resolution. So, and more specifically, people are likely to quit on the second Friday of the month. And it's even been called Quitter's Day. So this past Friday, that number of 23%, actually more than doubled. It's been found that 95% of the resolutions are abandoned by the end of January. That's not a very good success level. So today I want to talk a little bit about success for the new year. There's a lot of books and articles out there on success. They'll give guidance and paths to find fame and fortune or greatness. And this is often how success is perceived in our society. Because of some of the negative connotations, sometimes we're a little wary of the word success. But success can be a blessing from the Lord. Success can be a good thing. So this morning, I want to use this story of Jesus' ministry to redefine the world's view of success as a way to further God's kingdom by using Jesus as a model. If you want to know what true success looks like, study Jesus. Study his vision. Study his life. Study his teachings. It's a kind of success that's not universally recognized by our society, but it is a success that has eternal consequences. And success does not necessarily mean popularity. Jesus was both admired and hated. Some admired him. There in verse 33, we see that the crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel." While others hated him. And the Pharisees said, there in verse 33, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." So as followers of Jesus, as we're looking towards success, we may be both admired and hated. In verses 5 through 9 of Matthew's gospel, the author kind of sets out the successes of Jesus' ministry. He summarizes it here. In chapter 9, in verse 35, there he says, "Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness." In word and action, Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God. He brought the rule and the presence of the reality of God into the lives of those around him. This is what Jesus-style success looks like. That's what you and I are called to do. To achieve Jesus-style success, we need to model our lives on Jesus and share his vision. And we see that vision Jesus had in expanding the kingdom here in this passage today. And I've got a few points of that vision I want to share with you. First and foremost, I think, is the need's urgent. It's urgent. In verse 36, we see that Jesus saw that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Today, we see millions who don't know Jesus and are spiritually lost. In addition, we see millions who are starving, homeless, suffering from preventable diseases and addictions. The need's urgent. The need's urgent for us to expand God's kingdom. It was urgent in Jesus' time. It's even more urgent now because each passing day brings us closer to when Jesus is coming back. We should have that sense of urgency in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The second thing in Jesus' vision in expanding the kingdom is his motive, his love. Jesus' motive is love. Again, in verse 36, we see that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And I saw that the Greek word used here was a word for a very strong form of love. He loved them so much that it broke his heart. It broke his heart to see him in this situation. And Jesus isn't and wasn't concerned about worldly categories. In our passage today, we see him helping two different classes of people. A synagogue leader and a woman whose bleeding issue had made her unclean and left her on the fringe of society. Jesus had compassion on both of them. it's sometimes hard for us, I think, being in the church this many years, one of the hardest things that's been talking with people is helping people feel comfortable in sharing the gospel and talking about Jesus. And through the years, I've observed that most people have a hard time sharing the gospel with folks either above or below them, their own social economical status. And I've also it's usually even harder for folks to share someone in a social economic status above them than it is below them. That's just been my observation over the years. But Jesus didn't care what their status was. You know why? Because rich people need Jesus. Poor people need Jesus. Middle class people need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And Jesus' heart is broken when people don't know about him. He loves them, and he wants us to love them. He wants us to love them like him. He wants us to love them so much that it breaks our hearts if they don't know about him. So I want to ask you this morning, how often is your heart broken by people being lost? How often is your heart broken by people being sick? How often is your heart broken by people being hungry or people being homeless? How often is your heart broken by people being addicted? If our heart isn't broken by, at least occasionally, by some of these things, we need to go to the great physician and get our hearts checked. We need to spend some time with him and say, Lord, take care of my hardened heart. And if it is broken, how are you being like Jesus and healing a broken heart by putting your faith into action? You're probably sitting there wondering, Sam, how am I supposed to do that? What am I supposed to do if my heart's broken? I'll tell you what I do. Is I pray and I ask God, because we have to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we have to trust God that if God breaks your heart over a situation, he's going to guide you in what to do. But first and foremost, in any situation that our heart's broken over a person or a situation, it definitely involves sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them. We're all called to do that. We're all called to share the good news of Jesus Christ in any way we can possible, in word and in deed, so that people knows the hope that we have through Christ. It could be visiting a hospital or a home. It could involve working in a shelter or a food pantry. It could involve cooking a meal. It could involve a smile or a caring conversation or just listening. This list can go on and on, because the needs of this world are endless, and the ways to meet those needs are endless. The way to know what to do brings us to our third point in following Jesus' vision and expanding God's kingdom. And that is, it does start with prayer. It all starts with prayer. Number three, prayer is the trigger to get us going. Sometimes that's all we can do. Sometimes prayer is the best thing that we can do. Give it to God. We have to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus saw the immensity of the needs during the last parts of this passage, and he told his disciples, and he tells us, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field. Pray. And I want to encourage you to make that part of your prayer life in the coming year if you want to have success. pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field, because the harvest field is ripe. But I also want to prepare you here. If you sincerely pray that prayer, I guarantee you, you're going to see the kingdom of God expand. And it may just be because you may be one of the workers that he sends, if you're sincerely praying that prayer. So Jesus' vision of expanding the kingdom involves a fourth point here. The potential is vast. The potential is vast. In verse 37, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful." Folks, we live in a mission field. We live in a mission field. We all have family and friends and co-workers and neighbors and acquaintances that we don't know what their relationship with Jesus is. And I have a question for you. Does it break your heart to not know what your relationship with Jesus is? Does that break your heart to not know what their relationship with Jesus is? And does it break your heart enough to ask them what that relationship with Jesus is? And I don't mean doing it in a holier-than-thou way. We model Jesus and do it in love and compassion. And we prepare for asking them by asking the Holy Spirit to guide us. We have all that power available to us through the Holy Spirit that we forget about. God's there to lead us and guide us through that. So Jesus modeled what success looks like. He did it by proclaiming the kingdom and demonstrating it in his life. Now he calls us to follow his model, to share his mission and multiply its outreach. Success is being the person God created you to be by sharing and demonstrating the love of Jesus with a lost and hurting world to expand the kingdom of God. Amen.